Hey there, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week on Progressive Radio Network. So, a lot going on, of course, as with every week. And how about that stock market, huh? Hitting new highs, new Trump highs, that Trump rally continues. And again, you know, we called it long before anybody else. Where's it going to go? Well, there's going to be a correction, of course. Everybody's saying it, and it has to happen. But it's not going to happen quickly. Well, it may. Here's our forecast. The Dow, as we speak now, is at 23,132. This is amazing. It's up 135 points. On what? Well, the earnings are pretty good coming in. But again, there are two different ways of measuring the earnings. And as they're being measured right now, they inflate them a little bit. But still, you know, it's growth and it's not decline. But here's our forecast. If the markets don't correct by the end of October, the next correction time we see is going to be coming in January. And by the second quarter of 2018, we're going to begin what we're calling a stage one recession. Right now, the markets are being driven still by low interest rates, cheap money, and a story. And now what we're looking at are interest rates going up. And that's why you see gold going down. Gold's at 1282 now. And it's been taking a couple of hits because Trump is talking about bringing in a new Fed chair. And that new Fed chair wants to raise rates. So the more he raises rates, the higher the dollar goes, the higher interest rates goes, and gold doesn't pay any interest. And that's why the prices go down on it. And so we're looking at now a time, and we're calling it a stage one recession because they're going to be raising interest rates. And the going up another quarter of a point in December. And now with this new Fed chairman on the line, they're talking about raising them possibly even four times in 2018. So here's what you look for. Right now we're seeing sales around the country in hot areas at the higher ends slowing down pretty dramatically. Housing, luxury apartments, and condos. You know how they say the fish rots from the head down? Well, it's the same thing is true with the economy. It's the bigs that take the hit first, and then it filters down. So the bigs are starting to take the hit. This thing's played out. So we're going to be looking at a pullback in the markets. And again, we're looking at it either at the end of this month, before this month is over. We only have 2 weeks left. And if it doesn't happen then, what happens is you're going into Christmas holiday. So things are kind of, you know, spark it up a little bit. The emotion changes. So we don't see it happening in November or December. But come January, that's when you better be weary. Now, just to put this into perspective, it's global. The IMF came out with a study this past week that didn't make the American news at all. And that is the debt level of the G20 nations from borrowing all this cheap money, $135 trillion. It's a bubble. The bubble's built on the stock buybacks and the mergers and acquisitions. Again, when I was a young guy, there were no such thing as hedge funds or private equity groups. It did not exist. So, they've been speculating, gambling. That's all it is. How are you going to pay back that debt? Now, what happens when interest rates go up? Oh, guess what? You got to pay back more dough. So that's where we're at. And it's not good. And there's warnings coming out again, but they're not making the American media. Now, instead, they're talking about this slob of a human being, this Harvey Weinstein. And that's what the news is. What do I care about this clown? Disgusting human being. What is this, new? You know, that you got guys like him that harass women with dough and power. And it's been going off ever. Yeah, it's disgusting. It should have made the news and got out of the news, but that's all the news. So when you hear that the former finance minister of Germany, Schwabler, is warning of a spiraling global debt bubble ready to burst and liquidity problems posed by the bank's balance sheets and all of these non-performing loans, that doesn't make the news. That's not really important. People don't understand it. They don't want to talk about it. And they're all going out and blaming, you know, the slowdown also because of countries like what just happened in Austria that doesn't make the news here. The Freedom Party just took a big chunk of the election, and they're nationalistic, and that's a dirty word. You're not allowed to express your nationalism. You can't want to hold on to your ethnic identity or cultural heritage. You should be globalized. Well, that white bread is really great. And that's all it is. You're not allowed to have your own identity. So in Austria, and I'm mentioning this because we're going back to the debt, they're anti-EU, this new parties that are taking place. The same thing with Germany, with the AfD party, the Alternative for Deutschland, that threw Merkel way back. And then you have what's going on in Catalonia that doesn't make the news either over here. And it's a crisis situation that's going to come to a head on Thursday, because the people voted to secede, basically, from Spain, and now they're arresting the people that are behind it, and it's bubbling up. And by Thursday, they're saying they're going to give them a notice that if they don't stop this movement, it's going to be much worse. So economists all over the world are concerned about the increased risks from the accumulation of more and more debt. But again, as long as they keep interest rates low, they could keep this Ponzi scheme going. But when interest rates rise, this game is over. And we're going to see a crisis that is going to be worse than the Great Depression. if one other factor goes into this. A few weeks ago, China announced that because they have sanctions on Russia and still on Iran, different sanctions, that Chinese are going to buy Iranian and Russian oil, but they're going to pay them in the Chinese currency, the yuan, and not the petrodollar, the U.S. dollar. And, of course, the petrodollar deal was made under Nixon with Saudi Arabia, and where they base all the oil transactions in dollars, the petrodollar. Now China's saying, no, we're going to pay you in yuan, not dollars. We don't want to deal with dollars. We don't have to deal with dollars. That was a deal that Nixon made. And now, remember, Nixon made that deal with Saudi Arabia. Now China is telling Saudi Arabia, we're not going to pay you in dollars. We're going to pay you in yuan. But here's the deal. You can cash that yuan in for gold anytime you want. Yep. Not only that, Saudi Arabia is going to be taking their big oil company there. They're going to be putting it out there on the stock market. So, what does that mean? Well, China announced that they want to buy a big part of that. Aramco. Saudi Aramco. So, they're offering to buy up to 5% of it. So, if the deal like this goes through, and they're not dealing in petrodollars, this could be the death of the dollar. Because the Saudi Aramco is being put on the market for some $2 trillion. And two Chinese state-owned oil companies, PetroChina and Sinopec, have expressed interest in a direct deal with the Saudis. So what does this mean? Without the petrodollar, you're going to see the dollar dive. Because that's what's keeping the dollar as a major reserve currency. Because people all over the world, every time they buy oil, they're paying for it in dollars. So without dollars being transacted, it's no longer going to be able to keep the front up of the almighty dollar. So this is big. Because if the petrodollar dies, you're going to start seeing inflation in this country skyrocket. It'll be like, you know, you heard those stories in World War II Germany before the war broke out, people going, buying, putting their money in a wheelbarrow to go buy groceries. You'll be doing the same thing going to Walmart. So this is big. It'll destroy the dollar. It's not making news, but how about it? How about that Harvey Weinstein? Yeah. That's what's making the news. So it goes back to gold. Because if the petrodollar dives, gold soars. And that's what we're looking at. The other thing that's going to drive gold up, we believe, is in China once again, and that is that they've banned Bitcoin. And this Bitcoin thing is real. We've been writing about it in the Trends Journal for quite some time. This is cryptocurrencies are millennials' new gold. My generation, we bought gold. The millennial generation is going crypto. It's a different world. It's cashless. Why should I buy a fiat currency? I'm mentioning about the petrodollar. You could print all the dollars you want, and just like they're doing now. We have a $20 trillion debt. Trump's tax program is going to bring in even more debt. So what? The Fed will just keep printing money. Who cares? Who knows? I mean, is the average person or non-average person know what the debt levels are? Or do they care? Of course not. But without having the petrodollar in a reserve currency, that does make a difference. Now, going back to gold, China banned Bitcoin sales because what happened when the yuan declined dramatically back in 2016, the Chinese people didn't want to see their currency being devalued and having less money, so they've started buying Bitcoin. And that's what initially drove the price way up. Now let's go back to China. In order for the Chinese government to sustain growth, they have to increase exports. The higher their currency goes, the lower their exports go because their products cost more. So they need a cheap currency. So we believe they're banning Bitcoin to drive down the value of their, as the value of their yuan goes down, so they don't have all of this money outflows from China. People taking their yuan, buying Bitcoin. They want to stop that from happening, and now they effectively have in many ways. And it's very difficult to buy these currencies, by the way. You know, it's not an easy deal to do. You really have to be put a lot of time into trying to buy it. And it's beyond me. I don't know how to do it. I have other people do it for me. And I've bought some. I bought some Ethereum. And also the word out now is that Bitcoin Cash is going to split into Bitcoin Gold as well. So, again, I don't give financial advice. So I'm dabbling in this, you know, and playing around in it. But again, the reason why we believe China's banned Bitcoin is because they're going to lower the value of their currency so they could export more product. So if you're Chinese and you can't buy yuan and the value of your currency is going down, what will you buy? We believe they're going to buy gold. And these are the big buyers, along with Russia, India, China. The world is bigger than the United States. And as we see it, this is the beginning of the end of the U.S. dollar as China goes to the petrodollar. Again, news that you're not hearing in the media. Few people are talking about it. It's those of us that follow this that know what's going on that are very concerned about it. And again, we don't give financial advice, but we're following the markets and it's part of trend forecasting. So again, you're hearing the warnings coming out from the IMF and others that it's very, very overexposed in far as the debt levels. So when China compelled Saudi Arabia to trade oil in yuan, that's going to have a strong, strong hit on the dollar. And again, this agreement was in 1974 between Nixon and the Saudi king over there, Faisal. And when they accepted payments for nearly all of oil's exports in dollars. And China imports more oil than just about anybody else and from countries all around the world. So the idea of having to purchase that same oil in dollars, the Chinese don't like it. So they don't want to use those dollars no more. So moving oil trade out of dollars into yuan is really, really going to hurt the dollar. And again, we're not giving financial advice. We're saying that if the dollar dives and this keeps going forward the way it is, you're going to see some spike in gold. And our forecast for gold, again, is, and it's been right on target, is the downside risk is very low, about $100 to $150. But it has to go above 1400, 1450, 1480, 1470, 1460, 1490, 1480, 14, that kind of play. And then from there, we believe it's going to spike up into the 2000 range. So, some other quick hits, trend hits. The self-driving cars. They're going to be doing it in New York soon. We don't believe it's going to happen. We're a long way away from self-driving cars. Again, we don't give financial advice. You want to invest in them, invest in them. When you talk to the engineers, it's a different story. Matter of fact, one of the General Motors engineers said that Elon Musk is, quote, full of crap in his expectations of where driverless is going. And there are different stages of driverless, and the one that is the exceptional one is 5. They're around a 2 now in driverless, and they're lucky to make a 3. So we have a long way to go before this happens, and we don't see it happening yet. So if you want to invest in it, that's your choice. We believe there's going to be driverless in terms of going from point A to point B in bus routes and on, you know, mining operations, that kind of thing, where you have control. But we don't see it happening in the real world. I mean, can you imagine driving in New York City in a driverless car? Come on, what are you kidding me? People shooting in and out, changing lanes, trying to beat the lights. You know, it's not going to happen. But anyway, same thing with electric vehicles. China's going in full blast with electric. NEVs, new electric vehicles, dumping billions and billions into it. And so too are a lot of companies. But we don't see it happening to the extent that they're talking about. For example, last year China put 45% of the electric vehicles on the road. 45% of all the ones in the world. Yeah, it was about 500,000. You know how many cars China sells each year? 28 million. I mean, if they're talking about putting 7 million on the road in several years, it's still not there. The technology has to improve beyond the lithium and solid-state batteries. And again, batteries are basically an 1800s invention. So you want to talk about a smokestack industry, there's one for you. So before electric really happens, it has to go into a different direction than it's going now. So NEVs, new electric vehicles, again, if you want to invest in them, your choice, do whatever you want. We don't give financial advice, but we don't see it. I'm just giving you an overall trend view of the things going on that we look at, write about in the Trends Journal, and what our subscribers look for from us. And going back again and talking about digital currencies and cryptocurrencies, we believe it is the future because the world is going cashless. And if you're not attached to that in God we trust, you don't care how your transactions go. And in China, again, people aren't using credit cards. They're not using cash. They're using their apps. And that's the way they pay for it. And they could care less who their money they're transacting with. And now we're even seeing real estate deals being done with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. It is the future. Again, will there be massive corrections? Yes, there will. Some of the cryptos will live and some will die. Some are hoaxes and some are real. We'll see where it goes. But again, I'm investing in it. And, it's a long shot. But, you know, I believe it's the future, and so do our researchers, and that's why we write about it in the way that we do. And again, it's millennial gold. Gold you might want to go for. And what else do we have here in the news of interest? Ah, yes, I mentioned to you about that election over there in Austria. It's a big one. It's a big one. And that's the future, the populist movements. and they're happening all over. And again, when people ask me about the United States, I always say, look, there's not going to be any change as long as we have the two parties that we have. And if they could have new parties developing in Austria, in Germany, in France, in Spain, in Italy, in the Netherlands, why can't we have it here? And the reason we can't have it here, as I see it, it's basically become a courageless country. Again, if there's one brand not to invest in, it's peace. Don't put your money on peace. People won't support it. And I want to thank the few who have, by the way, a handful of PRN listeners. When I say a handful, less than five fingers, that have donated to OccupyPeace.us. And that's one of the reasons why I'm winding down this broadcast, because it's becoming a one-way trip here. We put out everything we can to inform and give trend forecasts to the listeners, and in return, we get very little support. Again, counted on two hands in almost a year and a half. So if you're going to invest, don't invest in anything that has to do with peace. Peace is like a stupid, dirty word. Nobody likes it. Nobody believes it. Nobody wants it. Nobody talks about it. Not a peep about peace. Look at this Pope. I joke. To me, the Pope's another Obama. Oh, by the way, I'm Catholic. I could, you know, so I could say that without being said, "Oh, this guy doesn't like Catholics." You know, I grew up Catholic. Pope's a joke, fraud, another front man. And what happened to that other Pope? You know, when I was a kid, they told you that, you know, you got to be Pope until you die. I don't think that other Pope died. They just got rid of him. I wonder what kind of things going on behind the scenes they didn't want you to know about with him. This Pope never talks about peace. Did you hear the Prince of Peace Pope? That's the other joke, Prince of Peace, is that the Nobel Peace Prize, Nobel Peace of Crap Prize. Who did they give it to this last time? Oh, the anti-nuclear group. Oh, yeah, great. You're going to stop nukes. Oh, NATO, by the way, in the United States, they're doing nuclear drills as we speak over in Belgium and Germany. And they're saying right out, we're not getting rid of our nuclear weapons. But yet they give a peace prize to a group that's not going to have any effect at all. We should have gotten the peace prize, Occupy Peace, because we're the only peace group out there with a platform for peace. Bring home the troops. Close all the bases overseas. No foreign entanglements. Secure the borders with the troops. Put them to work rebuilding our rotted infrastructure rather than doing it overseas. Spending more money rebuilding Afghanistan when adjusted for inflation than the Marshall Plan after World War II. Force Congress to vote to go to war, which they have not done since World War II. They give the clown in charge, Commander-in-Chief, clown-in-chief, the right to declare war and kill people all over the world like they're doing now. Just this week, 20 dead in Yemen. And they were terrorists, we tell you. They were suspected terrorists, killed 20 people. Another 25 in Pakistan in a tribal village. Yeah, they were tied to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. Killing around the world. You know, this guy went nuts when however many people did it. You know, we don't know, in Las Vegas. I mean, he's just doing what the American military and Washington, D.C., the Republicans and the Democrats do. They kill people at will. Any reason that they want. So, Again, the fish rots from the head down, whether in the financial markets or morality. There's no morality left in this country. No dignity and no respect. Integrity is a dirty word. And it's not only in this country, it's around the world. It's going on all the time. Look what just happened in Malta. Didn't make the news. The woman who exposed the fraud with the Panama Papers, all the rich people washing their money that don't have to pay taxes. It blew up a car. I mean, really blew it up. Into little pieces. Killed a woman. Where's the outrage? How about what just happened in Somalia with the United States over there? There were 300 Somalians killed in this war that's going on there. Run over a couple of people on the London Bridge around there, and that's news. 300 dead plus? Yeah, they're only Somalians, so what? They ain't white like us. They don't count. The United States is at war over there, too. And now we got fat mouth Trump talking up more war with Iran. In his speech last week, he said Iran was spreading, quote, conflict, terror, and turmoil through the Middle East and beyond. And this coming from Trump in a country that's destroyed, obliterated entire nations. Iran's doing it? Oh, yeah, look what Iran did in Afghanistan. Yeah, and how about Libya, huh? And Yemen? Oh, whew. Syria? Iraq? Somalia? Sudan? Then they're everywhere, those Iranians. And people get away with it. Nobody ever questions it. Oh yeah, Iran. Yeah, remember the United? Remember that low life piece of crap, a disgusting human being, Donald Rumsfeld, a little boy of nothing with a bad attitude, handing that to Saddam Hussein when he was on the side of murder for the United States, handing him the golden spurs. Yep, as the United States helped him launch the Iraq War against Iran that killed well over a million Iranians. Ah, that was back only in the 80s. That's ancient history. Yep. It was the United States. And, of course, Obama's wonderful sanctions against Iran. And then fat mouth Trump shoots his mouth off about how he gave Iran back that money. We paid him off. We gave him, you know, all that billions of dollars. Well, there were billions of dollars that the United States had frozen. That was their money. But, man, those are only facts. And, of course, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they keep selling war. There's no peace movement in any of the major nations in this country or others. None. So don't forget to vote Democratic or Republican. Vote for war, vote for murder, vote for stupidity, vote for arrogance, vote for narcissism, vote for murder. Thieves, they must be your people, because that's who's running the country. And people are just sad that their freak isn't in and somebody else's is. So those are just some trends. Again, do not invest in peace. It's a waste of money. And I guess you all believe that as well, because we've gotten barely pennies of peace from Progressive Radio Network. Few people have been generous, and I thank them very much. But the rest, peace is not important. Doesn't pay well or play well. Again, if you want to put your money where your heart or mind is, you could go to OccupyPeace.us, OccupyPeace.us. And if you want more information about the Trends Journal, TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com. And what else do we got going on here? Well, I mentioned the United States and Sudan, but the United States is at war in West Africa as well. Just saw a couple of Green Berets got killed there. And in Niger, but there's also American soldiers in Nigeria, they're in Mali, they're in Chad, they're in the Central African Republic, they're in Cameroon. So again, there's no reason to have Occupy Peace when you have all these wars going on. And again, when Trump shoots his mouth off about Iran, it's the United States that armed all of those Islamic militant groups with ties to Al-Qaeda and others for their regime change against Gaddafi that Obama and Hillary Clinton and Samantha Powers and Susan Rice launched. But those are only facts. And then, of course, those Islamic fundamentalists that they armed after the Libyan society disintegrated, that's when they went into other countries, in Mali in particular. And they overthrew the puppet government installed there by the French and the United States. And now the French are back in Mali. The United States is in Mali and other countries in NATO, having no business being there at all other than getting off on their colonization trip. And more importantly, when you look at Mali and Niger right next to it, it has to do with a thing called uranium, which the French need very desperately because they have all those nuclear power plants. And they've taken over the uranium mines in Niger. They're the ones running it. So it all has to do with money. And again, it's in France's economic interest. And the French energy giant Arven, as I said, has mining operations there, rich uranium resources, and they're guarded by the French army. Yeah, the French Foreign Legion. I remember those movies when I was a kid. Laurel and Hardy in the French Foreign Legion, and that was about what it is, boy. Again, these are only facts I'm talking about. And by the way, when we wrote in our Trends Journal, when that other low-life piece of crap of a human being, Hollande, was president of France and invaded and slaughtered hundreds of people in Mali, mostly innocents, according to the reports that came out in the Christian Science Monitor and other newspapers, they said that they were going to seek revenge against the French for the murders that they committed against the Mali people. But when they go back and kill people in France, then they're terrorists. But when France goes in to other countries to kill people, what are they? Oh, they're bringing freedom and democracy over there. Yep, and cheap uranium. So that's what we got going on, a world at war, and it's heating up. Because now you see what's also going on over there in the Kurdish areas of Iraq, where they just invaded. And of course it has to do with oil as well. And the Kurdish people voted for independence, so that's really putting things on a needle's point as well. In Iran, where they have a Kurdish faction, in Syria, the Kurdish faction, Turkey, Kurdish faction. So now this is heating up over there. If this explodes. And by the way, the United States has supported the Kurdish factions in Syria, Iraq, and other places as well. This is going to, could really call it, cause a destabilization in the area, even worse than it is now. But the other point is, it will drive up oil prices. And that's something to consider looking at if you're in that kind of investment or gambling situation where you like getting involved in that kind of thing. You know, it's not for everybody, but some people like to do it, and that is play the markets. So right now, you know, we have oil up there. It's, you know, it's pretty high compared to the lows where it's been, and it's going to, we believe, stay pretty high as long as this turmoil continues. And if there is a global slowdown, of course, oil prices will go down. But still, you know, I mean, they're moderately low compared to the highs where they were, you know, back in 2015. You know, you had oil prices in the 2014, you know, $100 a barrel, 2014. And now they're around under $60 a barrel, $58. But if this continues to go on in Iraq and Turkey and Syria, you're going to start seeing oil prices spike, because this thing's going to explode if it continues at the rate that it is. Again, with oil prices exploding, that's when you're going to start seeing gold go up as well. Because it'll be that's the kind of turmoil. The things like with go on in North Korea, you know, in and out of the news, you see gold spike. No, it has to be a sustained destabilization for gold prices to remain high. And the kind of destabilization in North Korea we don't want to see, because that'll be nuclear war. But a destabilization of in the Middle East is only going to drive prices up higher, and that too will drive up inflation and gold. So that's something to look at if you're looking at these kind of situations. And looking at other economic news as well, you know, you're looking at some, you know, pretty positive things in terms of, you know, the housing market. And other areas of growth, but they're not hot, but they're not declining. But we believe they're going to, and that's why we're forecasting a stage one recession again in the next first quarter of next year. We believe it's going to set in. And again, as I said, the fish rots in the head down, not only financially, and or not only, I should say, morally, but also financially. And so again, watch the markets at the top. Watch the houses that are selling for $1.4 million, that kind of area, and the condos and the higher, more expensive rentals. You're going to see a decline in them as we see it. And that's going to be something that's going to signal the rest. But now, what's also very important to understand is that when the markets crash, it's not going to affect the people. It's only going to affect the 10% at the top, but it will have a psychological effect. And I say only the 10% because that's the only ones invested in it. After that, there's really no money in the markets from the average person. So it'll have a big psychological effect. The IMF, by the way, and others are forecasting almost a 15% correction. They're even outdoing us. We're saying a 10% correction. A 10% correction will shatter things again, but not destroy them. So we don't see a depression. We see a stage one recession. From there, we'll have to see where it goes. If anybody would like to call, by the way, the number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And if the folks over there at PRN could let me know if anybody's calling, just put them on. So we're having Skype problems, so we're doing this by phone this week. And we're going to be winding down. This is going to have this is the next to last week of trends this week on PRN. We're going to be taking a break. As I said, you know, it's you like to have things go more than one way, and we're putting everything we can into making this an informative trends program. But we're not getting support for peace and our products as well. So, you know, it's nice putting out the information, but I'm very disappointed considering also that Gary Null has given so much to us in helping us launch Occupy Peace and getting so little support from PRN listeners to keep the movement going, particularly at a time when it's heating up at levels that we've never seen in many years with the Trump administration. So all those liberals that didn't support us before because they love their lying, murderous Obama, well, we figured maybe they support us with Occupy Peace to get the movement moving with Trump in office. But Matt, that's not even happening either. So again, if anybody has any calls and people at PRN, just put them on. You can interrupt me. Just put them on the line.
Abu from Wisconsin.
Hey, Abu, how are you?
Oh, hello. Thank you very much. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine.
I saw the terrible picture of the your front street without those trees. I mean, these people really don't know what they're doing, and they do so with such conviction. You know, these bureaucrats at the top there.
They forget two words, Abu. Public servants.
That goes all the way to Washington.
It does.
It starts at Washington.
Yep. No, yeah, you saw the pictures. They destroyed the four corners, the historic four corners that we helped restore. The only place with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings on each corner. They cut down trees in front, the tree in front of the 1774 Academy, and destroyed three other trees that the arborist said are not going to live.
What a shame. What a shame. I mean, here you are. We all pay property taxes. And then they have the audacity to do something like this without
yeah.
even consulting?
This, not this even consulting. And I tried to stop it as it was happening. And
well,
I couldn't
you know,
stop
my
it.
Goodness, they'd set the police on you. That's the kind of mentality these people have.
Yeah, well, the police have been on me more than once, and that's why I didn't try to go further this time. And I have gotten very little support. As I said, it's a country of cowards. Very few people here would even support me. I got it in the media, as you saw, in the Kingston Freeman, the newspaper, a few weeks ago. But nobody, no support, no support. As I'm saying, that's why I'm also, you know, I'm as I said, you know, we're winding down this broadcast. We're not getting any support, none. And I put my money where my mouth is, you know. So it's not, as you see, you know, we did. Not only all the taxes that I pay, you know, we put flowers and plants and make everything as beautiful as we can around here, and no support. And so I'm getting to realize that that's the state of the nation. And, you know, they say that you have to start from the bottom up. And when you look at the bottom here, the bottom just keeps going down.
Well, just a couple of quick points here. One, Donald Trump, at his peril, is going to start playing games with Iran. The United States has never taken on, aside from World War II, taken on a juggernaut as large as Iran. It's just, you know, Vietnam and Grenada and Panama and Vietnam, and it's still lost its shirt, except for Grenada and Panama. But, you know, this is a juggernaut that has just got its ears pinned back, and is just waiting to let this Washington provoke it. You know, of course, those people, they are quite wise, and they'll not that I have anything to do with them, but they're not provoking. And the second thing, and I'll be very quick, you know, I have the perfect solution for this this vexing problem called North Korea's missiles. Why don't we do this? Let's have North Korea lease out its nuclear missiles to, you know, Iran, Syria, Sudan, Zimbabwe, Venezuela, and let's have Wall Street finance it.
Yeah, they'd love that, wouldn't they? Yeah, Wall Street would do that in a minute. That's very funny. Yeah, you know, the thing with North Korea, why shouldn't they have nuclear weapons? I mean, if Israel's allowed to have nuclear weapons, North Korea hasn't invaded any countries. Israel has. A matter of fact, Israel just bombed Syria a couple of days ago. You know, and again, they could do anything they want, but they're not in any agreement. Boy, they have over 400 nuclear weapons, but they're allowed to have them. Pakistan has them. India has them. China has them. You know, many countries have them, but North Korea is not allowed to have them.
You know, right from the beginning, India said, it was on principle, it said, we're not going to be in this group because it's only limited to five or six nations that can have them in perpetuity, you know. Even though the NPT says you've got to start cutting back your stockpiles, they didn't. And so India, out of principle, and then Pakistan, of course, followed suit because it was the other side. They said, no, we're not going to do it. And even then, there was India had to pay quite a bit because it was kept out of the nuclear suppliers group, you know.
Yeah, again, you know, it's a fraud. The whole thing is a fraud. The United Nations is a fraud. The whole system is a fraud. Again, what we lack, and it's very clear, there's a lack of morality, and that's all it comes down to. And again, I talk about what just went on in Malta, you know, this tiny little country, how they slaughtered this poor woman. It's every country. Look what's going on. I mean, there's corruption everywhere. And again, no one speaks about morality, and at the top of it is peace. And we don't get a penny for peace. So thank you very much, Abu. Oh, anything else you have to say, or before?
No, I'm not there on. Am I?
Yes, you're still on, but we're going to be.
Please don't be scarce on these airwaves.
Well, I'm going to take a break. You know, we it takes a lot to put this on, and again, you know, I'm not into one way streets. I don't mind doing it, and we put a lot out there. We run a business too. And if we don't get support, we don't have the Soroses behind us. We don't get any money from anyone. We're not a non-profit. We're a for-profit, and we have to make money to keep going. So, you know, we would love for the people to help support us, but we're not getting it from PRN listeners. So,
well,
we're not getting it.
It's been good listening to you.
Well, thank you very much. And anyway, we're going to be going off the air pretty soon, but we'll be back next week. And again, I want to thank everyone for listening and those that have supported us. And again, it's up to each person to do what they can, to do the best they can, to help things change in a positive way. And it's up to the individual. It doesn't get any clearer than that. So we're looking at the markets here. It's a very volatile time. A lot of people are expecting, of course, to have a meltdown at any time. and we're among them. So we'll see what goes on, and keep working the best we can. But it's up to the individual. As I say, it does not take a majority. I didn't say, Samuel Adams says it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Thank you very much. See you next week.